practiced 2 blocks away from Broadway. So as they set up, we need a very decent curtain. Prabhu, you can together make like a curtain, huh? So that no one sees. You stand here, left and right. Here's the theater group. Don't look now. Close your eyes for a moment. It will be increasing your viewing pleasure as the theater stars come on. No, don't look. Krishna. Keep the curtain, yes? Can you see anything? Good. While the theater is setting up, I would like to give a summary of yesterday's part one, The Power of Blessings. I do know that some of you have approached me and asked, can we come for the second part? And I said, yes, I will give a summary of the first part so that you can enjoy it. Also, I must say, I feel a little nervous because Yogeshwara Prabhu is sitting amongst us. And Yogeshwara Prabhu was there when I first joined in Hamburg, and he knows that I did not know anything at that time, and now I also don't know much. So your blessings are required in this undertaking, Yogeshwara Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Let us review yesterday's presentation. We opened the presentation with an amazing purport of Srila Prabhupada, where he said that in spiritual life, blessings are more important for our advancement than our own endeavors. It means that blessings can carry us to an area where our own endeavors will never bring us. That was the first point, and we discussed a little bit about it. Then we pointed out how blessings come our way. We spoke about a natural law of receiving blessings. You remember the lessons of the thermos flask? No? Blessings come like the flow of water. The water always flows from a higher position to a lower position. So if a person wishes to acquire blessings in his life, he or she will always have to take a humble position. Now, I remember how once a devotee in England had heard a presentation on blessings and then wanted to take the dust of one fellow Vaishnava, but the Vaishnava was not willing to have the devotee touch his feet. As a result, a wrestling situation evolved where the blessing-hungry devotee threw the other devotee on the floor and finally was able to touch his feet. However, that devotee had a sprained ankle. So outwardly he might have obtained his goal, but I think we all can immediately feel he surely did not get the harvest of blessing, but more the harvest of Vaishnava aparat. So that's very important that when we seek for blessings, we remember this, that we really have to bow down, not only in the body, but in the heart, and actually cultivate humility. We will hear a little later what that means. Then the rest of the day we had a, I would say, transformational exercise. We were studying our own masks, the masks which are made out of ahankara, or false ego, and we had looked upon this situation that a culture of pride, which is actually the Western culture, is running contrary to this principle of seeking blessings, because in the West we are really taught that by our birth and that by our activities and by our attitude we can almost achieve everything. In the Vedic culture, these are the three types of blindness, the three types of pride. Pride in the birth, pride in the activities, and pride in one's attitude. They are all masks of false ego, unless they are spiritual. So I will now do something. Please don't look at me. Yes, is the yes, yes. So, in theater art, it is customary to applaud to the artists, but this time you can't do it, because the artists are so small and fragile. They are, according to Western science, even blind. Blind by misconceptions and pride. You will have to look with your own eyes. These are the youngest artists which you have ever seen in your life. It's actually a mystery how we could put up the theater play. As you soon will notice, these artists are younger than anyone who has ever performed on the stage. So don't applaud, but in the end you can do a rising applause. But just now be extremely silent. It is extremely important that you are so silent that one would hear the pin dropping. So, we are entering secret areas.
Do you believe in life after birth?
Of course not. Why, do you?
Oh, yes. No doubt about it. Our life here is just meant to grow and prepare ourselves for real life after we're born, so we become strong enough to deal with the things we have to face then.
Are you crazy? This is our real life. This is our real life, I'm telling you. What do you think happens after you're born?
That I don't exactly know. Certainly, it'll be much brighter than it is in here. Maybe we walk around. Eat with our mouths.
Right. We'll walk around. Yeah. These weak little silly putty legs will let us walk around. Yeah, and eat with our mouths? Let me fill you in on a little bit of science. See this thing here? It's called an umbilical cord. It's what feeds us. It's way too short to let us just walk around having a good time eating with our mouths.
Oh, don't worry. It will work. Or we're just a little different.
Look, life stinks and then you're born. End of story.
Even though I don't exactly know what's going to happen after we're born, I'm sure we will meet our mother and she will take care of us.
Our mother? You believe in the existence of a mother? Funny, I don't see her. Where is she?
Well, she's here. She's all around us. We live in her, and because of her. Without her, you couldn't even exist.
Come on, do you really believe that? I don't see any signs of a mother. Now, why do you think that might be? Oh, I know. Maybe because she doesn't exist.
Sometimes, when we are completely silent, you can hear her sing. Or feel how she's caressing our world.
Okay, so if there is life after birth, am I going to be punished because I don't believe in it?
That I cannot say for sure. Maybe you get a little slap so you open your eyes and life can begin.
Yeah. I'll take my chances.
Thank you so much. This was Broadway as it's in its beginning stages. Thank you very, very much. What does this theater play have to do with our seminar, The Power of Blessings? My dear devotees, a lot. In this theater play, we are brought before two individuals who just only believe in what they immediately see. The power of blessings can't be always seen so easy, but they do work a lot. And I will in a second come to from where we can collect blessings and how they can exactly work in our lives. But before, I would like to tell you a little bit about the culture of humility, or even better, the practice of humility. Very often in contemporary society and also in our ISKCON society, there is the belief that it is the mood which a devotee has which brings forth a certain activity. I would like to point out to the parents, there's your child crying. Please do something to save the little soul from misery. It's amazing how sannyasis and ISKCON are really necessary in all fields of endeavors. Also parenthood. It will become better over time. We think, if I'm not humble, then if I will never become humble. The underlying belief is that first there must be the mood, the feeling, in our hearts, and only then can be the can we see or have an authentic expression of the mood. It's almost like first there must be anger in the heart before there can be red eyes, wild kicking, and violent New York language. But it works also the other way around. You can do something to generate a feeling. And I would like to make with you an experiment, which I usually do with people who are first comers in university preachings. I would like you to do something. I can do it actually like this. Fold your arms, please, like Napoleon. And then look up in a very... And try to look up like a proud person, yes? No, please don't laugh. It is a serious experiment. Now try to feel whatever you feel. Most of you feel the sense of humor, but please, it's not for laughing. Just try to feel. Now, take your hand, fold them in the heart area, and look down. And try to feel whatever you feel. Thank you very much. Now go into the position A, your normal position. Could you feel a difference between this position and this position? It's amazing, isn't it? When I did it the first time, I also thought, well, it won't work with me. I'm not so sensitive for these New Age experiments. But yes, one does feel, and the audience feels. So Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is really based on the secret knowledge that certain activities can bring forth the mood of bhakti, of loving devotion, and the feeling that I must render service. There are 64 activities, like for instance, dancing before the deities, bowing down, which are activities which we do with the body. There are activities which we do with the language or with the voice. I'm sorry, with the voice. And there are also activities like meditation, where we move our minds. And it is said that although we move the matter here by these activities, which have a certain potency in them, the mood of bhakti can arise in the practitioner. It's a very important, let me say, philosophical statement. Prabhupada was once asked, how do we become enthusiastic, Prabhupada? And he said, act enthusiastically. Similarly, how can we become humble? And the answer was, act humbly. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a very nice prescription which we can do to act humbly so that we can feel true humility after some time arising. Do you understand why this is important in this seminar, the power of blessing? You understand, because it is only in a humble position where we can receive blessings. And in a just a little moment, we will go to powerful sources of blessings and how to collect blessings. And I can promise you that with this knowledge, your life might change entirely, and you might leave when you practice these things, New Vrindavan as a new person, and start to live a new life. But I really would like to make you aware that these practices will only work if you enter into the kingdom of humility. See, so much of those who look for spiritual enlightenment look for the easy path. Maybe, can't we just put a crystal here on our forehead, and then the crystal is just opening our third eye, and then we will be enlightened, huh? The whole medical industry works on this illusion, that people say, oh doctor, please give me the saving pill, and people don't want to do something in order to gain their health back. So also often we Hare Krishna people might look for a quick fix, a technique. Maybe A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then we remember all these points, and wow, we enter immediately from Vaidhi Bhakti to spontaneous devotional service, etc., etc. No, work needs to be done in the practice of humility. So I would like to read this now to you. This is a beautiful song from the Gita Mala. It is quoted in Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Bhajan Rahasya, or The Secret of Bhajan. And it goes like this. If you desire to engage in chanting Krishna's names and glories, then do everything you can to gain the qualifications necessary to do so. I'm thinking of a waiter in a restaurant who is serving his arrogant customers, and then at one moment the customer is so angry with him that he throws the soup into his face, but he remains smiling. He does everything he can do to gain the qualifications necessary to get a tip. A tip is, I don't know how we say this in English, bakshish. A tip. Everything they do, they humiliate themselves to really get the donation at the end, the tip on the end. So, can't we do everything necessary to get the qualifications necessary to get the blessings of the holy name? So here is what you have to do. Give up false ego. Good, how? Well, think of yourself as very lowly and wretched, more insignificant than grass. My dear devotees, this is only possible if you at least theoretically accept that you are not the body. It's only possible if you meditate about your spiritual identity as being part and parcels of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Practice the virtue of tolerance by emulating the trees. I believe the most difficult challenge for devotees who want to be tolerant like the trees is a situation which will arise in community life inevitably, and that is that you are criticized. Tolerant like the tree is all right until someone says your breath smells like after the war. criticism being tolerant at that time is not possible. But I want to give you some understanding whereby which you can practice tolerance even in demanding circumstances. There is a verse in the Mahabharata which made a paradigm shift for me. Here it is for you. One who remains tolerant, not becoming angry, certainly attains the abuser's pious credits. And now listen to the second part. Indeed, his own sins are transferred to that wrathful person. Did you follow the subtleties? If someone criticizes you, then whatever sinful reaction or bad karma you still carry with you goes to the person who criticizes. I don't want to go to anyone now. To criticize. That means your critic takes your karma. He's your friend. Hare Krishna, new perspective. Wait, it is getting more intense. The ignorant seeks to injure the wise by malice and backbiting. By doing so, the critic takes upon himself the load of the wise man's sins, which he, the wise man, casts off by forgiving the ignorant. Hare Krishna. Yes. So, let us ponder for a while about the significance of this in our lives. When you are living in a community, there are bound to be some misunderstandings and some tension. Both of you want to go to Mangal Arati, or if you are of the later dimension, to the Guru Puja. And the other person, your friend is in the bathroom, and you really feel, oh, if I'm not coming now to the Guru Puja, I know this Maharaj will notice me with his fiery eyes. And you begin to bang at the door. It's not a beauty parlor. We are in the festival of inspiration. And the other person says, cool it, cool it, cool it, I'm almost ready. And then has some... I don't want to need to go so much in the detail. And then there will be some tension, maybe. But please know, let us not be so oversensitive. This was all right, this example. But I mean, if someone really criticizes you, it's not so bad. It's natural. It's to be expected. And he takes away your bad karma. Provided only, you forgive the person and don't become wrathful in return. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur applied this principle in his life. There was someone following him during a lecture series. And at the end of each lecture program, this person got up and said, "He does not know," and started to actually attack Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on his presentation. Naturally, his disciples were boiling and were just waiting for a sign to act upon this and dispose of the rascal. Later, this man died a natural death. And When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur heard about this, he actually cried and said, "My friend has died. This person did a favor to him." I think we spiritual people should be highly interested in these paradigm shifts. Like, for instance, the paradigm shift that everyone talks about birth and death, but we understand there is no death. We live eternal. It's important to become grounded in spiritual understandings. And this is one thing which I feel might help you. My dear devotees, I'm now a little older than most of you. I suffered so much from criticism. Oh, Krishna. Sometimes good criticism, sometimes, and most of the time, it was just misunderstandings. But I have understood during one particular intense situation that this person was helping me to get rid of my karma. I even had one assistant whom I told this. This assistant was one time sitting in the sun in Berlin on the bench and closing his eyes, thinking a little bit on, I don't know exactly, he said he was meditating on some point, and then all of a sudden he felt a terrible hit in the nose, warm blood streamed down his mouth, and he looked, and there was a vino means a drunk person who had just hit him. Now he remembered this point, and he did not get into his karate mood, but he remained sitting there. Then the vino actually experienced a transformation. He began to cry, and he said, "Forgive me, young man, I don't know what came over me. I saw you, and all of a sudden I felt the irresistible urge to punch you. But I don't know what came over me. And my assistant said, "I know, my bad karma came over you. You are only the waiter who dishes out my karma." This was a little bit too much above the level of the vino. Whatever, he said, "Forgive me." And he skimmed his 5 plastic bags and actually managed to get some mineral water and said, "Take this, proceed, drink it. It is for your benefit." So some understanding is like this is required. If you want to practice humility, you have to become grounded in Tatenu kampam shushumikshamana bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. If you don't know what this means, you can ask after the presentation your neighbors. It's a very well-known verse. So practice tolerance by emulating the trees and give up revenge. Instead, look after other creatures. Once there was a man who was suffering very, very much, and he came to a saint, and the saint would hear him out. "Oh, my wife left me, my money, my this, disease," and so on. Then the wise man, the saint, asked him, "Have you cared for someone today?" "Cared? I need all the care in the world." He went on what went wrong. Then the wise man again asked, have you cared for someone today? Have you done something for someone to alleviate the suffering?" "No, of course not." Finally, the man left, and the saint turned to his disciple and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, this man doesn't know. Someone who cares for other problems, God will care for his problems. Hare Krishna. Of course, when we are in problems, we need to have some care, and there are counselors who can help us and great devotees. I just mean, if you want to practice humility, or if it's time for you to practice, then give up revenge and look after other creatures. Do not give distress to any other being in order to maintain your body. Know that all living beings carry Krishna in their heart, and so you should offer them respect in all circumstances. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur brings everything he said in four simple formulas. Those who take notes, this is a good time. Cultivate the four qualities of humility, compassion, respect for others, and indifference to worldly honors. Then you can chant the holy name always. Hare Krishna. This is something, let us come back to the original point. This is something which helps us to practice humility. Some good advices, something you might consider. But here I must again warn you. If you hear and hear sacred spiritual teachings and you do not commit to follow at least a little, that little which is within your power, a very harmful dichotomy or difference develops in your character. You send to your character a important signal. I know this is good, but I don't do it. This will come into other areas of your personal life, this signal, and will deteriorate your character. When we hear so much spiritual knowledge and never do anything, then, oh Krishna, some bad character develops, not from hearing spiritual knowledge, but from not doing what we hold important in our life. And this is commitment to one's integrity, which is necessary. And as you know, humility means also honesty or willingness to look. So, my dear devotees, I really want to give a strong point here. Practice something of what you have heard. If you could not concentrate due to digesting the nice meal, no problem. You can listen to the recordings, or you can come to me afterwards. But practice something. Huh? It's very important. When you leave the festival of inspiration, practice some inspiration. Krishna. Now, let me just see before I send you something. I will just ask, is it ready? But is it really ready? Professionally ready? Good. Sanatan Goswami says that a devotee should cultivate humility in three ways. With his body. What can you do with your body to practice humility? Bow down. Anything else? Serve prasadam, serve the Vaishnavas. Menial service is very good. In old monasteries, the new monks would brush the toilets. I did this for 6 years, and then I was becoming a translator, but I fought for my toilet seva. I understood it was good because I had heard an old Sufi telling, which was about, yes, one very rich doctor who had a son and gave the son to one Gurukul. So after 1 year, he came to inspect what the son was doing. And the son was singing in the toilets. The father thought, all right, he will come after some time. But after an unnaturally long period, he looked and he saw the son was cleaning the toilets. He went to the guru and said, I didn't give my son for a toilet training. I gave him for spiritual training. I can give you 10 Turkish slaves who can brush the toilets, but not my exalted son. Then the guru said, you are a doctor. When a patient is ill, whom do you give the medicine to? To his 10 Turkish slaves or to the ailing patient? Of course, to the patient. Yes, your son is here, the patient. He has a false ego, Janmanda. He is blind due to birth, thinking himself special. He needs that toilet seva. Hare Krishna. You can see an old timer is before you, who still values these good old values, which are very, very good and which are there in all spiritual traditions, not just in the Hare Krishna ashram. It's true, always. Yes, so the body can offer obeisances and you have said menial service. By his words, one should practice humility. Can you please tell me what you could do by your words to practice humility? Praise devotees. Dravida Prabhu has said, most probably he has a verse about this. Yes, Prabhu? Speak honorifically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sweet words, sometimes silence and smiling, says Vidyananda. And it is recorded on his super camera. Words by words you can offer respect to others, says Sanatana Goswami, and not demand respect. There is a particular joy when you glorify Vaishnavas. You feel a particular elevating energy in your heart, which seems to carry you upwards. We may have, out of mistake or not knowledge, drunken the poison of offending Vaishnavas in the past. Let us now drink the Amrita of glorifying Vaishnavas. It is very, very useful, especially when you glorify great personalities. But for maybe an immediate relief, it is good to glorify also your equals and even your, how do you say, subordinates. Thank you very much, Maharaj. Your subordinates. You will feel if you find something which is really good, and you will feel a wonderful energy when you glorify. By the way, it has also a pedagogic benefit. We have in Germany a mother who has an extraordinary, well-rounded and balanced young child. And I said, what is your secret? I'm traveling so much, maybe I can give your secret to others. And she said, it's only one secret. Whenever the child does something good, I glorify it. And when the child does something bad, I ignore it. And now my child knows, well, I want to be in the center, as children want to be. Then I do something good. And it becomes very nice. I do not know if maybe from one pedagogic perspective, one could also see room for improvement in this practice. I do not know, but I think it's a very interesting perspective. Catch someone doing something good. We always catch someone doing something bad. And then we tell him or her, and then we give them our attention and our strengths, and they might do something bad again. catch them doing something good. Praise them with your words. Then third, by the mind practice humility, by always meditating on one's own faults and seeing the good in others. Now this is problematic in modern psychology. This could develop into a minority complex, and so on. I have written it down because it's traditional, but I would say with the insecurity which is pervading our Western society, we need to understand a little bit the spiritual dimension of humility as well. Not just think I'm miserable, I'm lusty, I'm greedy, I'm envious, I'm all this. By this we will just go and involve ourselves more into I. We will become more egoistic and self-centered. Good is to understand I am a part of Krishna. Let me do everything which is required to come to my original position. I think Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said something, and I don't know if I get it correct in English because it's a witty English. Please think creatively so that you catch it. Humility does not mean to think think less of yourself. Humility means to think of yourself less. You could understand? Good. No need. I'm not Ronald Reagan who wants always applause for every witty statement. with humility, we move away from our conditional personality and we understand I'm actually a servant of Lord Krishna. I'm not the body. And from that position, we can look relaxed to our body and mind entanglement and then solve something there. But we need that position. I want to now give you a little viewing experience. Practice humility is the subject. I have requested a very well-known film director in Serbia to make something for you. It's again something where you just need to relax and view it. We will see the culture of pride. We will first see Krishna glancing us into the world so that we can learn our lessons. Then we will see how Krishna has created the world very beautifully for this learning experiences. And then we will see some thing of the culture of pride. And then it's only 7 minutes and it's supposed to be very artistic. Our Yogeshwara Prabhu is here and he knows better. Hopefully you will enjoy it also. So let us switch off the lights. Also here, please. The subject of this is Quo Vadis. Where are we going? I thought it might be helpful before we go into this section, our last section, which I consider the most important section of this seminar, to see the culture of pride, the culture of man against nature, the culture against of not understanding spiritual values and putting them in the front as a stark warning with the question, Quo Vadis, where are we going in this culture? Now I would like to enter with you some sources which where blessings can be searched for and where blessings can actually be given. The first quotation is coming from Narottam Das Thakur. He says, for powerful agents of blessings. Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavad Gita. It is said that the Lord in this time has been so merciful that he appears in the form of his powerful deity. He has his divine pastimes of love in Goloka Vrindavan, but some souls would prefer him more in a majestic form. Then he comes to Narayan as Narayan in the Vaikuntha worlds. And the Lord knows that some are not ready for the spiritual world, so he manifests the material world and comes into the world as the Purusha avatars and the Leela avatars. But still he knows people will not relate to him, and then he comes as the deity form, the Lord as the deity. The deity is a very, very, very important personality for looking for blessings. That's why Prabhupada put our vase every morning in the temples before the deity. We should go there for darshan, pray Govindam Aripurusham. And just by being seen by the Lord, coming before the Lord and being seen by him, we can get a lot of transcendental blessings on our personality. However, when you see the deity, you must learn, and I will give this in these subtle helps in all these points where you can get blessings. You must learn that there are three ways to look at the deities. The first is the material way. Sometimes when devotees come and see our deities, they ask, or people, what are they made of? Metal? Stone? Pankajangri Prabhu once said, as long as you think the deities are made of matter, you will see them as matter. The second way of seeing the deity is a symbolic representation of something else. The representation is not identical with what it represents. It's an intellectual way of seeing the deities. I think in America we also have the postal horn. Postal horn? Yeah, post box, but on the post box there is a horn. Horn. On the delivery truck. In Germany you have whatever has to do with the post, there is a little horn. It's clear, whatever bears the horn is connected to the post. That is what the sign is. So the horn is a symbolic representation of the postal office or the postal organization. When you see the deities, if you see the deities on an intellectual platform, you will also think, this is not Krishna. It's a representation of Krishna. If you want to derive full benefit from deity darshan, you must not look with the material vision and not with the intellectual vision. You must look with a vision where you see, it's called the bhava eyes, the eyes of love, and then you can see the deities and you can experience as you pray to the deities. He is my Lord. And you pray, you open your heart. And at that time, the blessings will come. This is the key. Huh? Bhava vision. Collect blessings of the guru is the second point. That is mostly done by satisfying the guru through one's service. Then the guru will feel in his heart a feeling which is described, he will bless the disciple. It will just emanate from his heart. See, there is a statement of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how blessings are given. It is blessings come at the moment where you please someone, then his heart opens to you and your situation, and the well-wishes come. This, by the way, is important when someone asks you for blessings. You are a Vaishnav, you can give also blessings. But you will only do that, or it will only come, if someone has pleased you. And in this way your heart has become open to them. If it is said, if you displease the Guru, and also the Vaishnava, this is then the heart doors, not heart doors, but heart doors, will close, and blessings are withheld. You know this yourself. When someone gets on your nerves, something happens in the Anahata chakra, if you want to be esoteric. Those of you who are understood. Your heart closes to that person. So collect blessings from Guru and Vaishnavas means to please them, which will unbolt the doors of their heart. If someone asks you for blessings, go into your heart. Think of the person. Oh, think of the service he does for Krishna, or just of his situation. And then desire that something happens to the person. And you will see how your blessings go his way. Blessings of the scriptures. Blessings of the scriptures will be given to you when you study the scriptures on your own merits. Don't go to the scriptures in an eclectic way. That is, this I like, this I don't like. This medium liking. This okay, strong liking. And so on. Scriptures or scriptural readings should turn into sacred readings where we allow that some new concepts enter our minds and change us. If we always read the scriptures with what we already know, or what we already value, or what we already hold sacred, we will remain at the stage where we already are. We must read the scriptures and allow that new concepts begin to influence us. It's a challenging exercise sometimes, because we bring our own thoughts with us. Another source, and now I come to what I like the most in this seminar, of blessings are blessings of the Holy Dham. Holy Dham is a spiritual place which has come from the material world, into the material world, and it is a place where two divine energies of Krishna roam about freely. You will meet these divine energies as you enter sacred pilgrimage. The first is called Taraka Shakti. That is the energy which liberates you from your old concepts or conditioning. And the second energy is the Paraka Shakti, that energy which pulls you towards Krishna. A typical day in Braj Dham can look like this. You go on a rickshaw, you have 50 times told him 15 rupees. He wants, at the end of the ride, he is the rickshaw driver, 20 rupees. You wouldn't mind to give him 5 extra rupees, but just the way he tricked you arises your American sense of justice so much that you are very much angry towards him. Then you finally get out of the rickshaw, You walk near Seva Kunj, and the monkey of all beings passes his liquids in your direction. Something gets stolen, and you might, and so on and so forth. And at the end of your visit to the Holy Dham, you might curse me. This was not a good idea to seek for blessings. I'm so angry here. Hare Krishna. That may be, but if you come to the sacred banks of the river Yamuna, if you sit in the sacred valley of Giriraj Govardhan, if you find a peaceful place where you don't hear the newest on Ritvik against non-Ritvik, or whatever political novelties the material mind comes up, and just absorb yourself in the holy name, you will all of a sudden find a tremendous potency coming your way, and that is the Taraka Shakti, that which liberates you, and the Paraka Shakti, which pulls you towards Lord Krishna. Please let us chant a mantra to one of the five gatekeepers of Vrindavan, or one of the five personalities who can give sacred blessings, Giriraj Govardhan. I will first say to you what we will chant. I offer my respectful obeisances to the most glorious hill whose name is Govardhan. He destroys all our countless troubles and replaces them with the highest bliss. This is the verse from Padma Purana where we chant Giriraj's glories. Please say it. You will notice in a moment why. Namaste Girirajaya. Shri Govardhana Namine. Ashesha Klesha Nashaya. Paramananda Dayine. Hare Krishna. Devotees who have circumambulated Giriraj Govardhan in a peaceful way, means not so hectic, they have described that their life changed, especially when they prayed while doing this. Krishna has left his holy dham for us to receive the blessings. The second very powerful agent is the river Yamuna. Yamuna Devi likes if we sit on her sacred banks and chant the holy name. She will give that feeling of spontaneous love to Krishna in the heart. She will start to flow, in fact, in the hearts of the devotee who sits there and chant and removes troubles from the heart. Another great personality is Gopeshwara Mahadev, a deity who is the guardian of Vrindavan Dham. And in this way, they are very powerful, in the holy Dham, very powerful personalities, even trees who can offer us the blessings. I know that this concept will challenge maybe 2/3 of my audience who have never thought of going to the holy Dham to collect blessings. My dear devotees, my dear skeptics, please nevertheless try. Go in a humble mood, chant sacred prayers in glorification. This is offering humility with the words. Bow down, and then you will be able to receive tremendous amounts of sacred blessings. I would like to end my seminar with a humorous story from America. Radhanath Maharaj told this when we talked to Rukmini the wife of Anutama today, and he said that he had a guest. I forgot her name. Maybe something like Sharon or Shelley. Shelley. Some Shelley is 70 years old and owns the Los Angeles Clippers. What are Los Angeles Clippers? I also did know, but you know everything. Basketball. Yes. So she came being invited by His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj's old friend Gary. I heard the Los Angeles Clippers were terrible losers. At the concluding day of where they stayed in show party, it was 2 weeks, Radhanath Maharaj asked Shelley if she would like to say something, and she glorified the experience. She danced in the concluding kirtan on the stage, 70-year-old multimillionaire, and so on. And then after she spoke, at the end she says, I have to admit though one thing. I prayed all this time while I'm here for some blessings for the Los Angeles Clippers. And I have been following very attentively the developments in the team, and they had the greatest winning games since the history of their foundation. It is all because of the blessings of Lord Krishna. My dear devotees, now I will not end on such a positive note. I will now poke you a little bit. Have you noticed that these young newcomers often have so much faith and apply the things which we hear, and sometimes we oldcomers are just so dry when it comes to spiritual practice. It's embarrassingly dry. Here's Mrs. Shelley, making money, and New York Clippers, or whatever, Los Angeles Clippers, and praying for blessings. Look, bless my basketball team, you know, and something happens, because maybe she did something right. Or Krishna was satisfied with Shelley in her beginning stages of approaching the subject, the power of blessings. Please don't leave the seminar by not applying what you have learned. Please do not disappoint an old man. Please, whatever was beneficial for you, whatever touched you in some particular way, you please adopt this immediately. Bring it to practice. Maybe you serve devotees prasada. Maybe you humble yourself before them. I'm a little stubborn by my nature, but please give some blessings my way. So please do this, and you will find fresh wind in your sails. With this, I would like to thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Goni Tai ki, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol!